Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Mem Gimel. We are holding on the bottom of daf Mem Beis Amid Beis at the two dots on the bottom Mem Beis Amid Beis. We're going to discuss whether one shutaf may testify for another shutaf, meaning the two partners, and one of them is testifying that the other one is indeed an owner of his portion. How is that possible that that's permissible? Isn't this, after all, a clear case of Nogea Be'edus, and how one can avoid being a Nogea Be'edus in his partner? The Gemara is then going to have three proofs that even if one is misalik himself, he just says, I will have nothing to do with this anymore, and thereby seeming to avoid his negios, still it's not enough. It's still a problem of Nogea Be'edus, and the Gemara is going to reject each of those proofs. Then on the bottom, going over to Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why, in a certain sense, when Shutfim are watching the jointly owned property, they're considered to be a Shomer Sachar. If, after all, there's a halacha of Shemira Bebailim, so isn't this a case of Shemira Bebailim, and it's not a typical case of the regular Achrayus of a Shomer Sachar? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss when a person is allowed to be made on something that he sold. I sold something to you, someone's claiming that it doesn't belong to you, am I allowed to testify that it does belong to you, or am I considered to be Nogea Bedavar because I am the one who sold it to you? So that's going to be the discussion on Amud Beis, and that discussion goes well into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin on the bottom of daf Mem Beis Amud Beis at the two dots. Umi'idin zelazeh. So we said that the two shutvim are able to testify for each other. So says the Gemara, why should that be okay? Amai, nogin beidusan hein. Aren't they, after all, nogea beidus if they're testifying for each other? As Rashbam points out, the kolzman shelo cholku legamri, im yitol shum ma'arer klum min asada, yafsidu shneyan, v'nimtza d'la'atzmo meid. That if they, so long as they haven't fully divided the jointly owned property, anything that's taken away from one of them is really taken away from both of them, because they now jointly own a little bit less. So he's not being made for the other guy, he's really being made for himself. So isn't that a problem of Nogea Be'edus? Now, Rishonim are bothered that Lechora, it's much worse than Nogea Be'edus. The Ritva, the Rashba, they all point out that why do you use the Lashon of Nogea Be'edus? Nogea Be'edus is that, you know, it's really about you, but I also have a little bit of a Nagia. Over here, it's really about me, it's really about the aid, meaning he's a bal davar. But there's a difference between being an aid who happens to be nogea versus being an actual bal davar, that I'm actually one of the parties to the case. So it's not just I'm affected by the case, I'm a party to the case. So why is it that we call it nogea? So there are different suggestions offered. The Rashba and the Ritva both suggest that that we're talking about over here that they are bal davar, they're not only nogea be'edus. Why does it say Nogea Be'edus? Because the Makshin already knew what the Gemara is going to try to answer. That we're talking about that the Shutaf is Mesalik himself completely from his Chelek, and he's giving it to his friend. In such a case, he's no longer a Baldavar, he's only going to be a Nogea Be'edus. So we're already formulating it as Nogea Be'edus because we're anticipating the next line of the Gemara. The Ritva also suggests that maybe they are Balei Davar, the Makshin just wasn't so medactic in his Lashon, meaning really what he meant to say is that they're Balei Davar, but sometimes it's a close enough Lashon, which is a little bit more difficult to accept, but that's another suggestion that the Ritva has. In the Shiurei Rabbi Shmuel, he suggests that there was a reason over here, a specific reason, to Dafka use the term Nogeya and not the term Bal Davar, because a Bal Davar is possible in the sense that an Adam is Karovetz al Atzmo. A person is considered related to himself and he's not Neman about himself. So we could have said that palgina ne'amanus, that we should divide his ne'amanus, and even if we're not going to believe him about himself because he's a karov etzel atzmo, we should believe him about the shutaf because he's not a karov to the shutaf. So that's why we use the term nogea, that his psul is mishum chashash meshaker. Nogea is not about karov etzel atzmo. Karov is possible even if you don't suspect that he's going to lie at all. Moshe and Aaron are psulim le'edus because of kurva, but nogea is chashash meshaker. So he still has that, and we wouldn't say palgina ne'amanus because the same chashash meshaker, we're choshesh that he's going to be meshaker about the shutaf as well. So anyway, so the Gemara asks, he's at least a nogea be'edus when he's testifying for his shutaf. He may be even more than that. He may be even a baldaver. So answers the Gemara, hachma eskinon dekasav lei dinu dvarim ein li al sadazu. That no, the case is that he specifically writes to the partner, I am having no portion of this field. I no longer have any chelek, even in my own chelek. It all belongs to you. I'm giving up the entire field to you, and therefore he is no longer a nogea be'edus. The Ran raises the question: since the shutaf gave his chelek away and he's not mekabel any achrayus whatsoever, so what's the chiddush that one of them could be made for the other? Then it becomes obvious that one of them could be made for the other. It's not even his field at all anymore. If he really said din udvarim enli al sadazu, so the Ran suggests that the chiddush is that even though he only said that after the error came out, he only was mesalik himself from the field after someone was ma'arar on the field, someone had some tainas, so still that works, meaning you might have thought, since he's mesalik himself after the error, that we have to be choshesh, that maybe there's some sort of kinunya b'nei, and they have some sort of plot, there's some sort of plan, that he's going to be mesalik himself long enough to be made, and then as soon as the edus is over, they'll go back to the old partnership. So no, that's why it has to tell me that that this works, that if he says dinu dver mainly al sadazu, he's really removing himself from the field, and that allows him to be made. So says Gemara, but still, even that doesn't work. V'chikas of lo mayhavi, is writing the words dinu dvar meinli asadazu effective? Does that really remove your ownership from a field? Vatanya, we have a brisa that tells us ha'omer lechavero, if someone uses this terminology din udvarim enli al sadazu, or for example use similar terminology ve'enli esekba, or he says viyadi misulakas hemena, any of these terms that he uses to try to say I have nothing to do with this field anymore, lo amar klum, it's irrelevant, it's totally ineffective, it doesn't do anything in terms of his ownership of the field. Once you have a chelik in the field, saying that I don't have a chelik in the field, as Rashbam points out, is not considered a lashon of matana lechavero. It's like a lashon of tefillah. Halavai that I wouldn't have a chelik in this field. Yeah, but you do. Meaning, halavai, I should win the lottery. Doesn't mean that you win the lottery. It's a lashon of tefillah. It's not a lashon of I am hereby making a kinyan. I am hereby giving you my field. So saying din udvar mainly besad the zoo is totally ineffective. He's still no gea be'edus. So says Gemara, no, hachamei askinan, it wasn't just words, it's kishakanu miyado. He actually does a kinyan, he does some sort of maisa kinyan. So if he does a maisa kinyan, that in fact transfers the ownership of the field, and once the transfer of the ownership is complete, that he no longer owns the field, so then he's clearly no longer no gea be'edus. Even if I do make a kinyan, I'm still no gea be'edus. Because if I owe somebody money, and there's a shibud on all the karkaos that I own, there's a lien on every property that I own, so granted, I'm making a kinyan where I'm being makne my portion right now, but my balchov might come and collect it from you. So it's still beneficial for me that you should be the ownership of it, so that my balchov will have where to collect from. So how can you say that a kinyan takes away my negios? Now, in this sense, he's not a baldover, but he's a nogea bedover, meaning he's no longer an owner of the field, so he's not a baldover on the field, but now we're saying, yeah, but he's at least going to be a nogea bedover, because he has some, there is some benefit to keeping this field in the possession of my former partner, who I have since given all of this property to. I want him to be the owner, so that if my balchov comes, I'll have where to send my balchov. Da'amar Ravim Bar Shmuel, Meshmei de Shmuel, Hamocher Sadu L'Chaveru Shaloba Achrayus, Ein Meid Lo Ala, Mnei Shema Amidu B'fnei Balchovo. After all, that is the halacha, that if you sell a field without accepting Achrayus on that field, meaning if someone takes it away from you, it's not my problem, I'm just selling you the field as is, but I'm not taking responsibility that no one's going to give you trouble over it, so now I cannot testify that you are the owner of that field, because I'm obviously I want you to be the owner of that field, so that if my balchov ever comes to collect, I'll be able to send him to you, and once he collects it from you, you're not going to come back to me, because I sold it to you shaloba achrayus, I didn't give you any achrayus. So says Mar Hachmaskinan, the kabbalah achrayus. Now the case must be over here that not only did I say dinu dvarim en liel sadezu? But I actually made a kinyan. I actually was makna the field to you. And not only was I makna the field to you, I was makna the field to you as a matana with achrayus, which is somewhat atypical. Normally matana, you don't accept achrayus, but I was makna the field to you as a matana with achrayus, which means that if anyone ever takes it away from you, they're going to come back to me. So I have no benefit in testifying that it should be your field. What? So that if my balchov comes, I'll send him to you? It doesn't make a difference if I send him to you or he comes straight to me. Either way, I'm going to have to ultimately pay for it. Even if I send him to you and he takes it away from you, there's achrayus. So I'm ultimately going to have to pay for it. So says my achrayus deman. What kind of achrayus? Inema achrayus di alma. If it's going to be achrayus from anybody else, that if anybody else takes it away from you, that I will have to pay back kol shekein denichalei. Then certainly, meaning I'm sorry that if someone else takes it right, that if anyone else from the outside takes it away from you, I'm going to have to pay it back. So of course I don't want it to be taken away from you. Meaning a ma'arer is coming right now and claiming that it's his and not yours. Well, as soon as he wins that case and you lose that case, your next phone call is to me to get your achrayus, to get paid back. So obviously I can't be made about that. Meaning if Reuven sold the field to Shimon or gave a field to Shimon with achrayus, and then Levi comes and says, hey Shimon, that field is mine, how could Reuven testify that it belongs to Shimon? If Levi in fact takes it away from Shimon, Reuven's going to have to pay Shimon back. So Reuven can't testify that it belongs to Shimon. That's obvious that he's considered an ogeya in such a case. Ela achrayus to asalei machmasei. Now it must be that the achrayus that he took is not if somebody else comes from somewhere else and takes this field away from you, claims to be the owner. No, it's if my balchov, someone that I owe money to, comes and takes this field away with the claim that this is going to be to pay back the money that Reuven owes. Reuven says, that's the achrayus that I'm accepting from Shimon. So in such a case, Reuven is not nogeya to keep it in Shimon's possession, because if he, either way, he's going to have to deal with his balchov. So that's the situation where he's not considered a nogeya bedavar, where he's not considered to be at all biased in the testimony. Now, we had said that when he makes a kinyan, why does it matter that he gave the field as a matana? Either way, he's ma'mida b'fnei balchovo, meaning it's still in Reuven's best interest that Shimon has this field in case Reuven's balchov needs somewhere to collect from. So based on that kasha of the Gemara, v'chikonim yodam mayhavi, harei ma'mida b'fnei balchovo, why does it matter to him that he was konim yodam? Either way, he's going to be able he's still no gab because he's going to want that field in Shimon's possession so that his balchov will collect from him. So from that kasha of the Gemara, the Yad Rama, it brings a raya that he becomes pasul eidus not only when we know that he has balei chovos, that we're choshesh that he might have balei chovos that we don't know about. I mean, it's not only we know that Reuven owes money to other people, that he's going to be nogeya, so that to keep the field in Shimon's possession, so that his balei chovos can collect from Shimon. Even if we don't even know if Reuven has any balei chovos, we're still going to consider him nogeya. And with that, the Yad Rama argues on the Ravid, who's quoted by the Rashba later on in Daf Mem Hey, that we're not choshesh for psul edus unless there's a chov yadua. That any malv b'shtar, any time there's a loan with a shtar, there's a kol, and we would know about it. And unless we know about it, we assume it doesn't exist. So the Rashba asks on the Ravid, so what are you going to do with our sugya? Apparently, it's only a chashash that maybe he's trying to keep the Reuven's trying to keep the field in Shimon's possession to be ma'amida b'fnei balchovo. The Gemara should have just answered that, and the Gemara had to give the answer. Oh, he was mekabel achrayus, that an achrayus on his own balichov, not achrayus di alma. According to the Ravid, if there's a chilik between a chov yodua and a chov she'eni yodua, the Gemara could have just said bepashtus that we don't know of any chovos. You don't have to say that it was mekabel achrayus. The Gemara could have had a much simpler answer. We simply don't know that Reuven has any chovos, and therefore memela, there's no chashash of ma'amida b'fnei bal chovo. So this Gemara that the Yad Rama uses as a raya that we're choshesh for balei chov, even if he he doesn't, we don't know of any balichavos, is a raya against the Ravid, because the Ravid says that if we don't know of any balichavos, then we're not choshesh for anything. We don't assume that he has balichov. Why would we make such an assumption that he has balichov? So the Pnei Shlomo suggests that in our sukkah, the Ravid would be moda that we're choshesh even for chov she'inu yodua. Because initially the shutof was a baldavar, so he has a cheskas psul in being able to testify about this property, because he was originally a party to the actual property, he was an owner of the property. We're trying to be machshir him because he was mesalik himself from the field. So in such a case, the siluk has to be an absolute siluk. It has to be something where he completely cuts off any chashash of any connection whatsoever to the field. In such a case, even the Ravid would admit that were choshesh for a chov she'enu yodua, and he's medayik from the kasha of the Gemara. V'chikanu miyado mayhavi sounds like the chisaron is in the kinyan. That so he was makna the field. Reuven gave the field as a matana to Shimon. Come on, if Reuven's going to testify about this field, he has to make sure that he has absolutely nothing to do with the field, that he has no negios whatsoever in the field. So it's dafka because of where he's coming from. He's coming from a position of ownership in that field, that he was a baldavar, that we want to make sure that there are absolutely zero negios. But in a typical case, we don't just normally assume that a person has balei chovos that we don't know about. That's the raya of the that's the way to defend the Ravid from our Gemara. Could be that the Ravid is correct, that we don't assume that a person has balei chovos, but in our Gemara we have to make that assumption because he's coming from a place of being an actual baldavar. Says the Gemara, but wait a second. So what did we say is going on over here? Again, just to review. We said a shutvim are allowed to testify for each other. We're partners in the field. I could testify, someone wants to claim that part of the field belongs to them. I could testify that no, it belongs to you. The Gemara says that's ridiculous, because if I'm testifying it belongs to you, I'm really testifying it belongs to me. I'm a baldavar. I'm definitely as nogeya as a person could be. So the Gemara said, no, the case was I gave my portion away. I am no longer a partner in the field. The point is I used to be a partner in the field, but I've given up my portion of the partnership. I, Reuven, have given you, Shimon, all of it, the entire field. Now someone claims it belongs to them, I'm allowed to testify that it belongs to Shimon. So ask the Gemara, V'chi misalik nafshe minei mi mistalik? Does that work? Can I say, I am being misalik myself, and hereby, through a kinyan, I'm being misalik myself from this field? Is that effective? Does that make it that I'm no longer at all connected to this field? Vatanya, we have a brisa. The Gemara is going to bring three rayas that it doesn't work to just be misalik yourself and say, I have nothing to do with this anymore. Vatanya, one raya is the brisa says as follows: Bnei ir shenignav sefer Torah shalahem ain dun in bedayane osay ir. That if you have people in the city who sefer Torah was stolen from that city, the dayanim of that city are not allowed to be dayanim in adjudicating the case of the stolen sefer Torah. You can't bring testimony from people in that city because they're all nogeya. They all want the Sefer Torah to belong to that city because they all benefit from that Sefer Torah. But if you just have this simple etzah, that you could just be mesalik yourself, I used to be nogeya, but now I'm giving up all my ownership, I'm giving up any connection. So v'yemisa lisluku beitre minayu v'lidainu. Very simple solution. Let two people be mesalik themselves, and now let them be the judges, let them be the edim, let them be the people that can deal with this case. They'll just be mesalik themselves from the Sefer Torah. Answers Gemara, no. Shiny Sefer Torah, dilashmiya ka'i. You can't be mesalik yourself from a Sefer Torah because you have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. You have to hear from the Torah. You have to hear a Kriyas HaTorah. So what do you mean? Where are you going to get the mitzvah? Are you moving? Are you leaving the city? As long as you're not leaving the city, you need the city to have a Sefer Torah. So there's no such thing as being mesalik oneself from the Sefer Torah. A number of points over here. First of all, on the previous Gemara, I forgot to mention, there's an interesting comment of the Rimi Gash that comes up in a few places in the Sugya, actually, in different contexts. We said that if a person sells a field, the Chavero Shaloba Achrayus, he's not allowed to be made. I sell a field to you without Achrayus, I'm not taking any responsibility, not allowed to be made on it. Why? Because we're afraid that I'm going to be made Sheker, we're still afraid that I'm going to be made Sheker, even though it's no Achrayus. Why would I be made Sheker? You're not going to come back to me anyway. Yeah, but I look terrible. I sold you a field and then it got taken away from you. That's horrible for my reputation. I look like a dishonest person. Someone who sells something and then it turns out that I wasn't really the rightful owner. It would look terrible. I'm not interested in having that kind of reputation. So ask the Rimi Gash. So wait, the chashash is that I'm going to testify falsely because I don't want to be dishonest? Meaning, if I'm testifying falsely, then I'm being extremely dishonest. Testifying falsely is an avera chamura. So how could it be that we're the Yisra Veda Sheker is much more chamur than being a lover rush of lo yishalim, than being someone who puts his word on something and then doesn't keep his word? But I'm mamish testifying falsely. So the Rimi Gash just points out, that the chashash that he's going to testify falsely is not because he's trying to measure what the biggest avera is and he's trying to avoid the avera of being someone who's dishonest. He's trying to avoid a bad reputation. He thinks he's going to get away with testifying falsely. It's not going to hurt his reputation at all. He's going to be able to be believed, and no one's going to think of him as a liar. But if I sell something to you and then you get it taken away from you, so that's bad for my reputation. Meaning it's not his Yir Shamayim that's working over here that makes him not want to be a lover rush of a lo yishalim. It has nothing to do with his Yir Shamayim. It has everything to do with protecting his own reputation. So that's just one point from the previous Gemara, but a number of points over here on this sugya itself. So we said that if a sefer Torah gets stolen, so you can't be done in b'dayanei osayir. The Maril Diskin on Chumash, the Maril Diskin in his Perush on the Torah, points out that based on this, we can understand what Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain say when they want to go to fight the wars for Bnei Yisrael and then go back and be Yoresh the land of Ever Yarden. They say, "Lo Noshuvel Batenu Atisnachel Bnei Yisrael Ish Nachalaso." We're not going to go back home until the Nachalos are all decided within the mainland of Eretz Yisrael. Why do they have to wait for that? Fight the wars. The wars are over. They'll figure out the nachlos on their own. Let the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven go home. Go back to the Ever Yarden, and the rest of the 9.5 tribes will figure out the nachlos on their own. So says Maral Diskin. No, they can't figure out the nachlos on their own because they're all shutfim. They're all nagei b'davar. So the only people that are able to testify who's going to get what nachla and to be able to actually be dan on who's going to get what nachla are the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, because they're saying yaday mislakas himen. We have nothing to do with the mainland of Eretz Yisrael. We're only taking the Ever Yarden. So that's why they say that we're only going to wait till after the Nachla. So it's an interesting Ha'ara, the Maral Diskin. Another point over here. So we said, why can't two of the Dayanim just be Mesalik themselves? Listluku Beitrei. So ask the Rishonim. Every Eidos needs to be Tchilasa Bekashros V'sofa Bekashros. Tosos raises this question over here. V'lisalku betrei minai v'lidainu v'im tomar. V'bi'inan Tchilasa V'sofa Bekashros. V'aveh v'tchilu b'psul v'aveh k'mokar v'nisrachik. When did this case of the Sefer Torah start? It started the second the Sefer Torah was stolen. And at that point, these people were still members of the city. So the Gemara wanted to suggest, okay, be misalik themselves from the Sefer Torah, from any benefit from it, and then let them be Dayanim, let them be Eidim, let them deal with the case. But when the case started, there was still no Gaya. So you have Tchiloso Bipsul V'sofa B'kashrus. So that's what Tosa suggests. Well, Marie, so Shaykh Tchiloso B'paslus Hacha, Kibin Shem Paslus Tali B'guf Ela B'mamon. So Tosa suggests that we only say Tchiloso B'psul when there's something inherent about the Psul, not when it's about a monetary interest. If it's about a monetary interest, you don't need to be Tchiloso B'kashrus V'sofa B'kashrus, because you could get rid of a monetary interest. But when we're talking about a Psul, Karov, something like that, that's where we say that you need to be Tchilaso V'sofo B'kashos. The Migash suggests a little differently, that an Ogea doesn't have a shame aid at all. Person is not able to, the reason Ogea is puzzle is because the person is not able to be Meir Alatzmo. So when he's Misalik himself, he now earns shame aid. When we say Tchilasu B'Kashrus, some of B'Kashrus, if you have a shame aid, but you're an aid puzzle, so you need to be Kasher from beginning to end. Over here, he doesn't have a shame aid at all until he's Misalik himself. So it actually ironically turns out that it is Tchilasu B'Kashrus, because he only becomes an aid once he's actually misalik himself from the situation. The Rishonim also write that you have to say clearly over here that the Eidim and the Dayanim don't have any other relatives in the city. Because if they have any relatives in the city, then they're Vaiter Nogea, because they're Nogea B'Kroveihem. If their Karov is Nogea, that means that they're Nogea, if a relative stands to benefit from it. So it has to be people who don't have anyone that lives in the city. That's how a number of the Rishonim suggest. Other Rishonim say, no, that's a little too far removed. Why? Because my Karov is going to be able to be Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah, so I'm going to be considered a nogeya. That's a little much. That a person won't be a nogeya. In the Chum weren't choshesh to apostle them in such a case. And then the Gemara's answer. The Gemara said, no. Shiny Sefer Torah de l'shmiya ka'i. A Sefer Torah is different because it's l'shmiya ka'i. So the Meiri writes that dafka be Sefer Torah, they can't be misalik themselves because they need to do the mitzvah. What about all the other tzarchei ir? A merchatz l'srachet bo, rechov shel ir. So that, he says, that they can be misalik themselves from and just commit that they're not going to benefit. It's just they can't commit not to benefit at all from a Sefer Torah because they have to. They have a requirement of Kriyas HaTorah. Poskim actually assume la halacha in the Tur in Chosh Mishpat Simlam Zayin and Beis Yosef. They say la halacha that just like a Sefer Torah, Siluk doesn't work. Any other Tzarchei Ir doesn't work either. And Beis Yosef explains, just like you can't go without being Shomea from the Sefer Torah, you also can't go without bathing in the bathhouse. It's not realistic that a person is going to say, I'll have nothing to do with the local bathhouse. Come on. At some point, he's going to need a bath. At some point, he's going to have to use the other Tzarchei Ir. There's a reason these things are Tzarchei Ir, because they are Tzarchei. All the people in the city need it. So that's what the Poskim don't really accept, that comment of the Meiri. There is a further question we've shown him. Let's say it's not the only Sefer Torah in town. Is it so unrealistic that they're being misalik themselves from that Sefer Torah? I'll daven at the other minyan, where we use the other Sefer Torah. So is it so unrealistic? So that's a machlokas rishon. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that in such a case, Siluk would help, because he doesn't have to hear from that Sefer Torah. Whereas the Rush says, if there's another Sefer Torah in that city, even if they read from that Sefer Torah in that shul and he hears the Kriyas HaTorah, still the fact that he's able to hear from another Sefer Torah would mean that the Siluk is good enough. Meaning it's not considered that he's benefiting from the Sefer Torah, because he could have just as easily heard from another Sefer Torah. However, the Shittas Rambam seems to be not that way. The Shittas Rambam in the 15th paragraph of Hilchos Eidos seems to be that even if there's another Sefer Torah aside from the one that was stolen, still the Siluk is not going to help, because at some point he's going to miss the other minyan. He's likely going to hear from this Sefer Torah. And then Rav Elchanan just points out, so what do we say, that he can't be misalik himself from the Sefer Torah because he's l'shmiya kai, and therefore he can't testify about this because he needs to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So what? So because he needs to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah and he so desperately wants that mitzvah, we're afraid he's going to testify falsely? So Rav Chanan says, go back to that Rimigash that we said before. Who would do that? Testifying falsely is a much, much bigger deal than missing Kriyas HaTorah. I mean, how could we be choshesh? A guy's going to testify falsely because he so badly wants the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So, and you can't give the Rimigash's answer from before. No, it's about his reputation. Nothing to do with the reputation over here. So Rav Chanan just points out that L'chora, that's very difficult to understand the psychology of such a person, that he's going to testify falsely in order that he should be able to be yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. There is a one final ha'ara over here in the Tshuvas Mari Brona. He brings an interesting raya from this Gemara. There is a discussion in Poskim. If a person wants to be yotzei Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, can you be yotzei one of the Shnayim Mikra by listening to Kriyas HaTorah in Shul? I was talking to someone recently who was telling me that I forgot which Rav, some major Rav in Brooklyn makes a big deal every year about how you could be Yotzei every year, Simchas Torah time, about how you could be Yotzei Shnayim Mikra. One of the times could be the Kriyas HaTorah in Shul as a way of encouraging people that it's not so difficult, that you should try to, that you should do Shnayim Mikra, that it's a Chiyuv. I mentioned in the past one of my friends, when he finished Shas, Yechiel Weberman, when he finished Shas the first time, Rav Yeager from Shai Yashav came over to him and said, Yashkoch, it's a very great accomplishment, but you should always remember, it never says anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you have to finish Shas, but it says in Shulchan Aruch that you have to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. A lot of people are lax in Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, so he tries to encourage people by telling them, apparently this Rav in Brooklyn, I forgot who it was, tries to encourage people by telling them that you could be Yotzei with Kriyas HaTorah, one of the Mikra. So is that so posh? Mary Brona says, in our Gemara, it says not that way. Well, what does it say not that way in our Gemara? Because it says, what's the purpose of the Kriyas HaTorah? L'shmiya ka'i. That you Yotzei Adin Shmiya. The requirement of Shnayim Mikra is Shnayim Mikra. Meaning, how does it work when you Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah? Is it Shomea Ka'ona? That when the person's reading, so I'm listening, it's as if I'm being Korei? It doesn't sound that way. It's L'shmiya ka'i. It's I'm only being Yotzei, a mitzvah Shmiya. I think we assume la halacha that it does work. I think Mishabur assumes la halacha that it does work. But that's the raya of Mari Brona from our Gemara that it doesn't work. Okay, let's get moving here. Tashma. So Gemara says, I have a second raya, that being misalik yourself doesn't help. Homer tnu man el b'nei iri, if a person says, give money to the people of my city, ain done b'dayani yosei ir, v'ain mivin raya me'anshi yosei ir, that you can't use anyone from that city to be done or made about the case, because they're all going to benefit from the fact that there's more money coming into the b'nei iri. Amai, this look be train of shayv l'dainu. Why not just remove two people from the situation and let them be done? So says Gemara, no, hachanami b'sefer Torah. Must be that over here is also talking about a sefer Torah where that's not a simple eitzah. The sefer Torah, they can't be misalik them. From Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, I'll bring a third raya. Homer tnu mana la aniye iri. Person says, give the mana to the poor people of my city. Ain done b'dayani yosir vein mivin raya me'anshe yosir, because they're all nogeya b'davar. All the people in that city are considered to be nogeya. So says Gemara, v'tizbra aniim shakli dayani mifsili. Why should they all be considered to be nogeya? The money is designated for the poor people of that city. The dayanim, as far as we know, aren't poor. Just take dayanim who aren't poor, and then you won't have a problem, and they could be dayanim. Why is that relevant to them? Ela ema ein dan b'dayane aniye oseir vein mavin raya me aniye oseir. Yeah, in a chinami, you can have regular people serve as dayanim. It's just you can't have aniim from that city serve as dayanim, because they're obviously nogeya b'davar in that sense, since there's money that's designated for aniim. So it says more. But amai, why can't you have the aniye oseir serve as dayanim or edim l'stalku betrei nafshayu? Just let two of the aniim be misalik themselves from that money entirely, vili dainu, and then they could be dayanim. So don't you see that siluk doesn't work? Because if it did work, then you could just have two people be misalik themselves. So it says merna hachanaim b'sefer Torah. That price is also talking about when it says give money to aniye iri. It doesn't really mean give money to aniye iri. It means give a sefer Torah to the city, and everyone's going to benefit from it. V'amai karlu aniyim. Then why do they call it aniye iri? It's not really about aniyim. It's about everybody in the city. Da'kolitz sefer Torah aniyim hein. Everyone needs a Sefer Torah, and therefore, when a kihila doesn't have a Sefer Torah, they're all considered aniyim, because they're all lacking a basic necessity. So no matter how much money they have in the bank, they're all considered aniyim if they don't have a Sefer Torah. So since we're talking about money being designated for a Sefer Torah, being misalik yourself doesn't help, because you also need to be yotzei, the mitzvah of shmiyas ha-Torah. V'iba yaseimo, or another way to solve this problem is the olam k'diktani aniyim. Maybe really we are talking about actual aniyim, and the dayanim are not aniyim. So why can't the dayanim serve as dayanim in this case? They're not aniyim. They're not going to benefit from this money. Uba aniyeh deramu alayu. The reason the dayanim are apostle is because we're talking about aniyim that are the responsibility of the bnei ha'ir who are ashirim to be mefarnish them, and included in those bnei ha'ir are these dayanim. So that's why the dayanim are nogeya, because to the extent that they can get an outside funding for these aniyim, it's less responsibility for the dayanim themselves to support these aniyim. Ve'echidami, but what exactly is the case? Idikitzluhu, if there's a set amount that for each of the bnei ha'ir, how much to give to the aniyim, there's like a set tax, this is the amount of money that's levied upon you to support the aniyim, Let two people pay their annual tax, so they have already paid up what they owe for the aniyim. And then let them be done in the case on this outside funding that's going to come in. It's not going to affect them at all. They already paid this year's. No one's coming after them for any more money anyway. So it must be that our case is that there is no set amount of money. The determination of how much they're going to have to pay is going to be based on how much outside funding they're able to secure. So then certainly the Dayanim are going to be nogeh, because if they're able to secure more outside funding, it means less money that they're going to have to pay. The Achronim point out, we're talking about a minuscule amount of money probably, meaning if it's going to have to be spread out amongst all the people in the city who are going to support the aniyim, so how much is a few $1,000 from the outside going to affect my portion of what I have to pay the aniyim a year? But still, that's enough to create a negia, v'iba yaseima, or maybe we could say l'om dekitzlu. There is a set amount that all the ashirei here have to pay. Still, v'nichalahu, and still it's better for the dayanim to have the aniyim get this outside funding, to kivan deravach ravach. Since the aniyim here have money, it's gonna help them, and they're not gonna have to pay even their normal set amount that they always have to pay, because the aniyim have enough money. Meaning, once they're gonna change the estimates from year to year based on how much money is already secured for the aniyim. So that's why the Dayanim are considered nogeah. Okay, new issue now. We had said, Shmuel had said on Daf Mem Beis, V'nas and Shomri Sachar Zel Lezeh, that two partners are allowed to be, are considered Shomri Sachar for each other, and to the extent that if the item that they own in partnership is stolen from one of them, he's like a Shomri Sachar, and he has to pay for Gneva. He has to pay for Gneva Aveda like a regular Shomri Sachar. In fact, the Gemara, Amai, Shmir Bebailim Hi, why is he considered Shomri Sachar? Isn't this, after all, a case of Shmir Bebailim, because each of them is watching some of the items that are owned in partnership at the same time. So you're watching some of my stuff, I'm watching some of your stuff, meaning it's all jointly owned stuff. So isn't that called Shmira Bebailim? No, he's not actually, the other guy's not doing anything right now. The way the deal works is that we're partners in this item. I watch it today, you watch it tomorrow. So you're not doing anything for me right now, and therefore it's not called Shmira Bebailim. But I am a Shomer Sachar because you are paying me for my watch by you watching it tomorrow, and therefore it's considered to be that it's a Shomer Sachar. Tan Rabbanan, Machar lo bayis, Machar lo sada. If I sell you a house, I sell you a field, Ein meyad lo aleha. I cannot testify together with somebody else that it belongs to you. Mipnei shachriyuso alav, because I have achrayus on it. Meaning, if it gets taken away from you, you're going to come right back to me to ask for reimbursement, to ask for payment back. So I'm obviously considered nogeah bedavar. I can't testify that it belongs to you. But machar lo para, machar lo talis. If I sell you a para, I sell you a talis, meyad lo aleha, I can testify that it belongs to you, even though someone from the outside comes and is ma'arer and claims that it belongs to him. Why? Because I have no achrayus on that talis. If it gets taken away from you, so you're out of luck. You're not going to come back to me. So says Gemara, Maishan Reisha, Maishan Seifa. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? What do you mean, what's the difference? We just said that there's achrayus in the Reisha, there's no achrayus in the Seifa. No, what we mean to say is, why does the Reisha give an example, dafka, of karka, of sada, and the Seifa gives an example of talis, of metaltalin, of para? Well, it's not really about karka versus metaltalin. What this halacha is about is achrayus versus no achrayus. It's about whether I am responsible if it gets taken away from me. It has nothing to do with whether it's actually karka or metaltalin. So I'm Rav Sheshes, Reisha Ruvein Shagazel Sada Mishimon. Now the case of the Reisha is Ruvein stole a field from Shimon, umachara lelevi, and then Ruvein turned around and sold that field to Levi. Va'asi Yehuda v'kama arer, then Yehuda, who's a guy out of nowhere, comes and claims that the field belongs to him. To lelezel Shimon la'asid lelevi. Shimon, who had the field stolen from him by Reuven, cannot testify that Levi, who bought it from Reuven, is the rightful owner, because he wants Levi to still have the field, so that when Shimon comes up with proof that it was stolen from him, he'll be able to track it back down to Levi and get his field back. But says Gemara, no, he won't. Once he testified that it belongs to Levi, how would he possibly be able to then take it away from Levi when he has proof that it was stolen from him? He just testified himself that it belonged to Levi. So says Gemara, Dana de Hayara de Lav de Yehudahi. No, he's not testifying that it belongs to Levi. All he's testifying is it doesn't belong to Yehuda. And if he testifies that it doesn't belong to Yehuda, that's enough to keep it away from Yehuda and still keep the possibility open that he'll be able to get it back in the future. The same way he's going to get it back from Levi, won't that proof be good enough to get it back from Yehuda as well? No, he says that I'd rather be able to have it by Levi because it's easier for me to get it back from Levi. Levi's a softy. Yehuda's going to be much more difficult for me to get it back from him. So, maybe Yehuda also has Edom, and he's afraid that they're going to leave it with Yehuda. They're not going to give it back to him because Yehuda has Edom just like he has Edom. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will continue that discussion on Tavlin Dalin Amir Aleph tomorrow.